The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
Look, right now, Comic-Con is going on in San Diego.
Right.
Just go there, take a show of hands. How many vote Republican or Democrat?
Right.
It'll be overwhelmingly liberal Democrat.
Well, that's not necessarily a positive thing. But
I'm not value judging. What I'm saying is that if they're not voting Republicans, Republicans will take notice.
I am value judging.
You want the votes, right? You want the votes.
Always.
I noticed that also, I think one thing that they really don't like, and it's in, again, almost
every... Who's the they? No?
The Republicans, the right...
On this show, they means Republicans.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time.
To me, they are just the world, but... Okay.
Well, the people who write this, the people who subscribe to this kind of thing, they really don't like something that Cosmos gets at almost every week, which is that we are very insignificant. And somehow this offends them, which seems stupid. That life is random, that we're not really that important. It really bugs them on a
visceral. Well, I think insignificance, if that's how your mindset is going in, that could depress you. However, if you go in a little more sort of broadly and say, wow, we are connected genetically to a tree, that's awesome. Trees are awesome things, you know, all life on Earth.
Oh, come on. They have a problem with monkeys. You're going to get... You're going to go back to a tree? I mean...
chemistry is the atoms in our body we find across the universe. That's an almost spiritual revelation of modern astrophysics.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find.
He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Well, we're about to do our grand experiment. Are we cool? Can I just pick up this phone line? Let's see what's on this line here. If I bring it up on the board.
Mike, are you there?
I am here. Are you there?
I am here. As here as I can possibly be. How are you doing?
Okay. This is Nikki Jabour, the Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabour out of Halifax, Nova Scotia. And this is we went right into it because we have this half hour from 9 a.m. to 9:30 here. And of course, 11 a.m. to 11:30 Atlantic time. But you're also being broadcast in Ottawa this year.
Yeah, we're in New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Ottawa, yes. So,
which is why all the lines got tied up, that we can't actually have a broadcast quality line here. We got to do a phone because you've tied up all your lines, expanding your empire.
I'm sorry. That's just what happens when you're taking over the world, Mike. You know, it's just life.
Wow. Well, that's okay. You know, if you're going to take over the world, I want to be along for the ride.
Well, I've been reading your book and laughing, you know, my butt off the past couple weeks. This is good stuff. So I'm very happy to hook up with you today. How's it going?
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood in Chicago. We've had the most spectacular week of weather, and this is after a year. Starting January, which was really brutal. I don't know how brutal it was out your way, but it was nasty. And in fact, at some point I'm going to ask you about what's it like growing your winter vegetables when it's, because we use Fahrenheit, 19 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. But you guys, was it that ridiculously cold in Nova Scotia this past winter?
Yeah, I mean, that just translates into Celsius as too damn cold for anything. It was very cold. Brutal is the word everybody uses, I think, to describe the past winter. But, you know, it's the history now. I still was able to harvest a lot of vegetables from my cold frames. Good crop selection, and I got lucky. But, spring came quickly, and now we're enjoying the summer heat. And it's kind of rainy here today, actually.
It is perfect in Chicago. The last week has been sunny. Temps in the, again, Fahrenheit in the upper 70s, low 80s. So absolutely perfect weather. Lollapalooza is in Chicago this week. So all of the really hip bands here. Helen, do you happen to know any of the bands that are performing in Lollapalooza? Wait a second.
All right. I notice you didn't ask me. There's an age thing. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's Carol, Nikki, by the way.
And
hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm great. Yes. I know you've got a great crew. I know. It's always fun listening to you guys.
Helen, did you not have your mic on? Is that what was going on there?
Still learning the ropes. You know that.
Helen's one of the newer people of the crew. I put her in the booth and I give her a microphone and sometimes she can turn it on and sometimes she can't.
Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, so do you know, you're right, I didn't ask Carol who's at Lollapalooza because I figured you would know. Do you have any idea? Are you paying any attention?
I only listen to, like, little punk bands from my neighborhood.
In the garage, right?
Or people's basements, you know.
Yeah. Let me play one thing, Nikki, because I have to do this for legal reasons, actually advertising reasons. You can. I'm sure you can give me 20 seconds here, right?
We're going to count.
Here we go.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
And that's how it works. It's all I had to do. Because Christy Weber Farm and Garden is a great sponsor on my show. Now, I don't even remember whether you're commercial radio or public radio. You're commercial, aren't you?
Yeah, commercial, yeah. And it's funny, listening to that opening there, Life's a Garden, Dig It. It was a book signing yesterday, signing books for people. And I had to sign that twice to people in books. You know, Life's a Garden, Dig It from Joe Dirt.
You had to do that. Awesome. Nobody makes me do that. Nobody tells me what to sign in my book, I'll have you know.
Awesome. I'm like, that might be the coolest thing I've ever signed in a book. Life's a garden, dig it.
That's great. Actually, I believe that's David Spade who says that in some movie, and I don't remember exactly.
High-quality film.
Yeah. Whatever David Spade was in, it's a high-quality film. Well, you mentioned my book. We'll get back to mine in a second because it is all about me, as you know. But you have this fabulous book out called Groundbreaking Food Gardens, 73 Plans That Will Change the Way You Grow Your Garden. Basically, what I've discovered, you did the right thing. You figured out a scam where you wouldn't have to write anything. If you just contacted enough gardeners and said, hey, write about your favorite kind of food garden, and then all you had to do was put it together in a book.
I wish. They didn't write any of it. I wrote everything. I interviewed them.
Are you kidding me?
No, I wrote it all. I interviewed all of them, though, like via phone, via email, via every possible smoke signals, anything I could do to talk to these people, I did. I came away rather inspired, actually. I swear I wrote it all. I did gather all their information, their tips, their techniques, their plans. I bugged the heck out of them. I might have legally stalked a few of them. It's hard to say. But I had a lot of fun making that book, and I'm very glad that it is out now and that so far all the feedback from everybody who contributed has been positive because I was concerned. Being Canadian, you know, we want people to be happy. And so I wanted to make sure everybody was happy with the final product.
That's your whole point in life when you're Canadian, right?
It kind of is, yeah. You have to, hockey and happy. That's it.
And Americans, our whole job here is to make people miserable.
I don't know about that.
Actually, you're American, too. United Statesians, I guess we should say. It's really, and I assume that the email you sent me for my contribution to your book got lost somehow. Where did that go?
I sent you an email, if you recall. And, I don't think garden planning was more your thing. Your thing is hilarious.
Well,
I think we could have made it work. I know we could have made something work.
Oh, I would have made something up. See, I would have pulled it out of thin air. I would have said, oh, here's the humor garden. Actually, I was thinking about it last night. If you had contacted me, the garden I would have suggested, the food garden, would have been funny plants, plants that make you laugh.
Listen, I did contact you. Go back and look in your emails and Facebook messages.
Really? Did you?
I did.
I don't believe you.
You go back. You will find it. And then,
And then I'm going to kick myself because...
We're going to sit here for 5 minutes and wait will you do that because I did contact you.
No.
I swear I did. You go look and then you can email me later and tell me that
I am going to email you later. And
I swear I did. There you go.
Oh, okay. I believe you. I believe you. And I would have done it if I had actually seen the email.
There you go. I know, right? Well, listen, we should mention to people again, listening in the Maritimes here in Ottawa. We're talking again live at the Mike Novak Show in Chicago. Third annual live simulcast. They can find you, Mike, online at MikeNovak.net and also, of course, on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, and of course, it's Novak. It's Polish. Yeah. It's N-O-W-A-K. So if you want to go to my website, it's Mike Novak, NOWAK.net. And, of course, Nikki, you're all over the place as well. You've got your website, which is well, okay. Now I'm looking at it because I just called it up on
desperate for an update.
Yeah, well, I've got year-round veggie gardener .blogspot. That's one place where people can find you, and that's because you wrote that wonderful book about the year-round vegetable gardener, and I imagine that's still doing pretty well.
Well, I got the report. I get an annual report or a biannual report twice a year. And I, what I've been told is it's at 67,000 copies at this point.
Wow.
That was thrilling to find out, actually. I don't know if they're sold or just printed in a warehouse somewhere. But that's what we're at this point.
That's just fabulous because what I am not looking forward to is selling my book because I figure I'm going to have to sell every one of those by hand.
I don't think so. Listen, this is funny stuff. Attack of the Killer Asparagus and Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden. Did this just come out in the past month or two?
Yeah, right. Just in the past month is a release date, and we've just had a couple of signing events. And as you know, my book, your book, see, like Groundbreaking Food Gardens. And by the way, the links to Groundbreaking Food Garden and Nikki Jabour and Nikki Jabour's homepage is NikkiJabour.com. And that's spelled N-I-K-I, only one K, but two B's, J-A-B-B-O-U-R. So it's NikkiJabour.com, which is the homepage. The link to Groundbreaking Food Gardens, which includes, and I wrote a bunch of them on my website because I always put stuff up at MikeNovak.net. You've got, there were a number of them that caught my attention right away because I live in the city.
Yeah.
I'm a city guy, so I started getting sucked into the ones that were about urban gardening, including Urban Farmscape, Patty Marie Travioli, partially shaded vegetables, that is a huge issue.
Marjorie Harris, she's like Canada's garden guru and, designer in Toronto. She writes for a major national newspaper. And, she based that in her own garden. It's a wonderful design.
So what's the difference between partially shaded vegetables and urban shade garden? Kathy Martin did that one.
Yeah, she's out of Boston, actually. She's on 6B. The spaces are totally different. And even the amount of shade they get are kind of different. Like where Marjorie's is all kind of filtered, Kathy Martin in Boston is more like half the garden's very shaded, so that's where rhododendrons go. And then the other parts get like minimal light, but they do get full sunlight for like 2-3 hours a day. So they're a little different, dealing with different types of shade, really.
Well, and I don't know if you've read my whole book, but I have a column in it called Dismayed in the Shade.
No. Listen, I laughed out loud so many times when I read this book. My kids were getting very alarmed. Okay, they're concerned for me because these are a lot of your collections from your columns at Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, and you've been described as a horticultural everyman. I don't think anything is taboo for you, is it, after reading this book?
No, nothing. I mean, nothing. You know, my gardening world is fairly dystopian. It's about all of us have our fears and our failures, and our failures catch up to us and they haunt us. You know, gardeners never forget the things that went wrong.
You know, Mike, I think I need to take a commercial break here. I don't know if you take a commercial break.
Oh, yeah, I can do that as well. How long are we going to do this?
2.5, 3 minutes, I think 3 minutes.
3 minutes sounds excellent.
A little tea, coffee break for everyone.
Yeah. Why don't we do that? Okay, great.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back more with the Mike Novak Show live from Chicago in just a few moments.
And that's Nikki Jabour, live from Nova Scotia and Ottawa, Canada. We are broadcasting north of the border today. I kind of wish it were a little slightly better connection, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, as we lurch into August, which is the only way that I enter a new month, or a room, for that matter, gardeners often have many questions that need answering. For instance, where did I leave my trowel? That's why Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is such an important resource. They can't find your trowel for you. But all of the issues, including the July-August issue, include the Q&A column, which answers your most pressing queries. Wonder why there are tracks in your columbine leaves? Hint, it's not muddy boots. Or why your pachysandra is turning yellow and dying? Hint, what kind of a relationship do you have with your pachysandra? Or whether you can create an edible hedge with black chokeberry shrubs. Hint, the answer is in the name of the plant. Or, what should you do when you find my column on the inside back page? Hint, drop the magazine and run. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Pick up one at newsstands all over town. Hint, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, broadcasting out of the Windy City. Are we back with you, Nikki Jabour?
We're back live to Chicago. Are you there, Mike?
I am here. Wow. Talk about timing. We were like right exactly at the right time, 3 minutes in. How about that?
We have great producers.
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm sitting here, so I have nothing to do with any of it.
It's all about the team.
Tell me about it.
And we are here. Here's what we're doing today, folks. Talking gardening, of course. And I know it's kind of funny because you and I both know people who listen to both of our shows and sometimes try to do it at the same time.
I'm getting those tweets too, Mike.
and you get those on Twitter, and that's where all. You know, it's kind of funny. I've been so focused on getting this thing up and the two of us talking in your book that I haven't even looked at Twitter. And I just opened it up and holy smoke, there we are, all those tweets about folks who are listening to both of our shows right now.
Yeah, hey, Annie, I know I've got it in front of me here. So I've been scrolling down, reading all these great tweets. This is awesome.
Yeah, there's Annie and Bobby Bearroot. Yeah, he's great. He just got a great job in town working with the KAM Isaiah Israel. Cope Dog or Bobby Bearroot, depending on what he goes by, whichever handle he's using, is one of the folks who has been part of my team from time to time. And he just got a great job working. He's farm manager at KAM Isaiah Israel on the south side of Chicago, and they have one of the most fantastic community gardens in the city. They do wonderful stuff.
Well, I hope he shares some photos so we can see that on Twitter. Hey, Bobby, take some photos for us, would you?
Yeah, do that. And I'm glad some folks have taken copies of the book. Was that you, Nikki? You took a photo of the book?
In front of my computer this morning as we were about to go live.
All right, before we go off air, I'm going to give this over to Carol. Let's get a copy of Nikki's book up on Twitter as well, and she will take care of that. In fact, maybe I should be holding it. Let's do it right here. See, we're doing this. This makes great radio, doesn't it, Nikki?
See you right
now. All right, here we are with the microphone, with the book. She's taking a photo. You got it there, and
I'll send another one out. I know we've only got about 3 minutes too, and I do want to mention that. Well, I want to ask you because I laughed as I mentioned the whole way through Attack of the Killer Asparagus, and I know people can get it online as well as places like Chapters and stuff. But you know, there was one. I'm going to say like one section, one chapter, one column area that was so funny. The next bestest, latest, greatest thing already that you wrote about, it's so touched my obsession with the next big plant and garden trend and everything. And I think I need to get the one you made up here called Amaranthus greasii, the plant with the fragrance of crisp frying bacon. Where do I get that?
Yeah, you know, it's...
Well, the zone extender. We all here in Nova Scotia, we need the zone extender, which promises to let you grow a zone 9 plant in a zone 3 area.
absolutely. You can grow anything anywhere with that. You know, that, and like I said, that's just the weird things that pop into my head. As I tell people, they're not going to learn a lot from my book, but they might be entertained.
You know what? I did learn a lot, though. There is a lot to learn here. But when you're learning, you're laughing, which I think just makes you retain the information better.
And the other thing I want to say while we're plugging each other's books is one thing you should know, and I was amazed. I don't think there's a single photograph in this book. It's all illustrations, right?
There were three artists that worked on this book, yeah, the new one.
Yeah, you have a whole team, a whole staff of artists for groundbreaking food gardens.
Yeah. No, they were amazing. They brought all of these ideas to life because some of these were sketched on napkins, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and sent to me and from these contributors. So they turned these ideas, and a lot of them were verbal ideas, into the most beautiful gardens and really interesting ideas.
And what folks need to know is that any kind of garden you can imagine where you can grow food is in this book. And that's because she interviewed 73 people, and I am going to go check to see if you sent me an email. And a number of these folks have been on my radio show, and they've been on your radio show too, obviously. But it's everything from working with chickens to what kind of insects you want, including good pollinators, shade garden, vertical gardening, edible hedges, hanging gutters.
That's fun.
That is cool.
Amanda Thompson, you know, she's a kiss my aster from Chicago. And she contributed a fun Chicago-style hot dog garden. The Chicago Botanic Gardens, their small space garden is included in there. So
right.
Chicago love.
Yeah, there is. There's Chicago is well represented in the book. And the cool thing is every garden has a list of plants and a design. You don't have to follow the design exactly or even the list of plants exactly, but it gets you started, and it's a great way to start.
People like inspiration. They want to find out what's going on. You know, Mike, I can't believe we're down to like 30 seconds. This simulcast, next year let's make it an hour.
That's fine with me. Now, what, Carol, you're still trying to tweet?
I'm going to do it right now. I just wanted to crop, but it was too big.
Oh, she was, she had to crop. Well, we might not get it up before I have to say goodbye, but it will be up there. You'll see it on Twitter really soon.
I've got it in front. front of me. When it comes up, I'll see it. And you go look in your Facebook messages, and then you'll see that I was right, okay?
Oh, Facebook?
Love you, Mike. Yeah,
okay.
Facebook message. Take a look.
All right. Thanks, all right, Nikki. Well,
thank you, Carol. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mike. This has been fun. I can't wait till the next one.
I can't either. You have a wonderful... We didn't even talk weather, but that's okay. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Okay, take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And again, that was
Mike Novak Show live in Chicago. Can take a quick break here on the Weekend Gardener. Coming back, talking about bees. All that and more.
Wow, that sounded better after she got off the phone. We should have experimented with that before. Oh, okay. That's the way those things work. And the name of her garden, that's Nikki Jabour, N-I-K-I-J-A-B-B-O-U-R. She is the author of The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener. Her new book is Groundbreaking Food Gardens, 73 Plans That Will Change the Way You Grow Your Garden. Now, she said, go check your Twitter. Or not Twitter. Did she say? She said Facebook. Well, you IM me on Facebook. I'm going to miss it probably, but now she tells me. I was looking for the emails. I missed my opportunity at immortality. I guess I have to do it through my own book, right? We'll have to just see how many of those we can sell. Are you okay there, Carol?
Everything's frozen. My computer's frozen.
No!
My phone is frozen. I know. It's this area, this corner.
The corner of this corner of the studio is frozen.
Yes,
so nothing's going up because we want to get that up on Twitter. We want to get it up on Facebook as well.
Yep, I know.
We need to get all that stuff up there so people can see.
Okay.
Although it's up on my website anyway, which is MikeNovak.net.
Yeah, I posted her her book on Facebook. I just don't have the actual picture of you yet, but it will be up.
It's the important thing is the picture of me.
I know.
Don't you think?
Of course. It's your show.
Like I said, it's all about me. That's the way these things work.
That was cool, though. It was a quick, really quick 30 minutes with Nikki, but that was great.
Yeah.
You got to do it longer next time.
Well, like she said, we should do the whole hour. If we can, that would be great. And what I really want to do though is go to Nova Scotia and visit her gardens. She, truly grows stuff year round. And, look, I was reading her book and I just got inspired. I said, you know what? I got to do this too. I got to get at the hoop house, you know, that you can get little ones. You don't have to have a whole greenhouse. You can do a hoop house in your backyard and you can be growing vegetables, especially greens, well into the winter, absolutely it's the way to go. Just keep that fresh stuff coming, you know. And I'm thinking about it now because I'm getting my CSA, which through Purple Leaf Farms, and the vegetables that we're growing in our community garden, you know. And it doesn't seem fair because at a certain time of the year you got too much. And then at the then in the winter when you really want them, you can't. It's really hard to come by, and they're certainly not fresh. So that's why you got to grow your own. And Nikki is the person who proves that you can do it all year long. So we got lots of folks tweeting here. So it's very cool. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Mike Now. On Facebook, of course, the Mike Novak Show. You can also listen to us streaming live. I haven't even had time to go through these. You can also catch podcasts of us at MikeNovak.net. I always have those up at least usually a couple of days after the show, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. So let's finish this.
In the Green Room.
Yiddick.
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com, right in your own backyard.
And I didn't mention, because we went right into the conversation with Nikki Jabour in Nova Scotia, that the rest of the show, Ricky D is back in the studio. Well, he's not in the studio, on the phone. But Rick DeMille has returned. He sent me photos of his vacation out west. I'm jealous, But I'm glad he got some time off, and he will be here with the forecast. And I'll ask him why, you know, he leaves town and summer shows up. I don't know why that is. Do you think those two events are connected in any way? Then in the second hour, Zach Cohen with Summit Mosquito Dunks and Bits, and they're a great sponsor of the Mike Novak Show. Well, we're going to get to, you know, we started that conversation several weeks ago about why the dunks work and how important they are. And I note on my website that there is a new mosquito-borne virus that has made its way into the United States. Now, apparently it's not fatal. It'll just cause you discomfort. And let's see, where is it here? Oh, yeah. Chikungunya. So I think that's something like that. That's how it's pronounced. And it has nothing to do with chickens because it's spelled C-H-I-K-U-N-G-U-N-Y-A. And it has become, unfortunately, very popular in the Caribbean. More than 355,000 people have been sickened. Roughly 40,000 new cases each week. And it's been found in the United States. Yay! All right, now we got that here. So this is a reason that you might want to be interested in mosquito dunks and why they might be better than trying to attack mosquitoes after they become adults, which involves spraying all kinds of stuff that makes lots of people nervous, including me. Let me tell you, I got an interesting email from Kaida Muhammad, who's a friend of the show, works on the South Side at the South Shore Market, Farmers Market, South Shore Farmers Market, and they're at 79th and South Shore Drive. And if you get a chance, you should go down there. And she sent me an article that was in the Trib, something that I wasn't aware of. And reading from this a little bit, let's see who the article was written by, Richard Webner. Last year, Kaida Muhammad started a farmer's market in South Shore in an effort to get neighborhood children eating healthy foods rather than the chips and nachos she saw them munching on. And I have to digress at this very second before I get to the rest of the article. We had it wasn't this year, but last year we had a one of our potlucks in our community garden, Green on McLean, in the Logan Square neighborhood. And we had all this amazing food, and lots of it made from stuff in the garden, the greens and the tomatoes and whatever. We had beets, we had all kinds of stuff, kale, squash. And people made these wonderful dishes so that people could come into the community garden and eat them. And there was a group of kids, and somebody brought a big bag of Cheetos to the thing. Do you see where this is going, Carol?
Keep going.
And these kids had nothing on their plates except Cheetos. Yeah. It was stunning. It brought it home. I mean, here we had fresh, free, available food. The kids wanted nothing to do with it. They were going to eat the Cheetos.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, it is.
It is sad.
You when you were describing all the vegetables, I was like, oh, those sound great.
Oh,
and then you said Cheetos. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Nobody said anything, really. I mean, it's like, if you want to eat the Cheetos, eat the Cheetos. It's not my kids.
Right, of course. But
I mean, we can say, you know, this stuff is really good. You'd really like this.
Yeah.
And they look at it and move on.
You know, some parents have this philosophy, like, the kid has to at least try something. If, you know, usually their reaction is no. So they're like, just try one bite and then you're done. So at least they're trying to get them to taste different foods, vegetables.
Here's a way to make that work. Do not have Cheetos in the home.
Well, yeah.
I mean, hungry, don't you think?
They'll eat, Yeah, they'll eat carrots.
I was going to say they'll eat the furniture first before they'll eat a carrot.
Not if they're hungry, though. You know?
I guess. But we had some kids there this year, and the good news is some of them had the wonderful food we had out there, too. So this story has it wasn't the same group, so different kids, but they were eating some at least trying some of the stuff we had there. And, of course, we had watermelon, and what kid doesn't like watermelon?
Well, and the problem
we didn't grow the watermelon, by the way. It was not in our garden. That thing would have been stolen weeks before it was ripe.
Well, I think the problem is with junk food is that it's made to be addictive. That's, you know, anyway.
It is. But back to the story here about Kaida Muhammad on the South Side. With a lot of hard work, she created the South Shore Farmers Market, open Sundays at the corner of 79th and South Shore Drive. But there's a problem. She can't get enough vendors to come. Only 4 vendors have joined the market, with 2 or 3 coming on the average Saturday. People are showing up at the market with shopping carts and shopping bags, she said. They're hoping to load up with fresh vegetables and fruit, but it's just not there. With millions of residents and plenty of neighbors where fresh food is a priority, the Chicago area has lots of demand for farmers markets, but a number of market managers like Muhammad are finding their ambitions stunted by their struggle to find farmers willing to set up shop. That's the biggest issue I've gotten. We need farmers, said Pat Steer, an executive director of the Illinois Farmers Market Association. With farmers in high demand, market managers are approaching them increasingly often, offering incentives such as free parking, a waiver of booth fees, help from volunteers, or promises to limit competition, farmers said. They bend over backward for us, said Steve Licklider of Layman's Orchard in Niles, Michigan, which sells its wares in several Chicago farmers markets. But we can only stretch ourselves so thin. When it comes to attracting a farmer, the most important things are how much competition there will be at a market and how many people will come, farmers said. Steve Freeman of Nichols Farm and Orchard in Marengo, Illinois, said the farm looks for markets in affluent neighborhoods, where residents can afford goods that are more expensive than those grown on larger farms. On Saturday, this was written on Friday, yesterday Saturday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is expected to report that the number of registered farmers markets continued their upward climb, increasing 1.5% nationwide in 2014. But the report shows 309 registered markets in Illinois compared with 336 in 2013, an 8% drop. This is in Illinois. That's the biggest percentage decline of any state. USDA spokesman Jim Brownlee couldn't specify a reason for the drop and noted that its registry might not include every farmer's market, but the agency reaches out to farmer's markets to join the registry, and they're usually eager to do so because the exposure brings to them. And the article by Richard Webner in the Chicago Tribune goes on. It says over a longer time span, the number of farmers markets in Illinois has risen. Between 2008 and 2013, it went from 205 to 336, but last year it went down. So, and of course, some places like the Green City Market in Lincoln Park, they're turning away farmers. That's where they all want to be. And yet there are these outlying farmers markets where people are trying very hard to get people to buy fresh produce and introduce them to healthier foods, where they're having trouble getting farmers. Kaida sent this to me, and, you know, she said she felt a little better knowing that she wasn't the only one, because, you know, they talked about some of the farmers markets in the suburbs that have had trouble getting people. So it's all very interesting, you know. It's a brave new world, and trying to get folks to, and farmers out to the markets. is still a struggle. All right, we're going to get to Rick DeMaio weather. He's back in town. Let's do it right after this.
Mosquito bites are painful and itchy, and mosquitoes can carry West Nile virus and other diseases. But there's an effective organic way to kill mosquitoes. Mosquito dunks are America's favorite organic mosquito killer because they kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. The active ingredient in mosquito dunks kills mosquito larvae before they become flying, biting, disease-spreading adults. Just float a donut-shaped mosquito dunk in ponds, birdbaths, fountains, rain gutters, or any place where water collects to naturally kill mosquito larvae. Mosquito dunks are deadly to mosquitoes, but harmless to pets, people, fish, and other wildlife. Each mosquito dunk treats up to 100 square feet of water and will kill mosquito larvae for up to 30 days. So don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Stock up on mosquito dunks. You can find mosquito dunks and mosquito bits at home centers, garden centers, and hardware stores.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoisolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at illinoisolar.org for more details.
This is Mike Novak with a message from the Illinois Hydrilla Task Force. Dense mats of aquatic plants at your favorite fishing spot or swimming hole can really get in the way of summer fun. You can help protect Illinois' lakes and streams by keeping a lookout for the aquatic superweed hydrilla. It's already been found in neighboring states and impacted boating, fishing, and water sports. To learn more, go to hydrillahunt.org and report any suspicious aquatic plants you find. Your neighbors and fellow water users will thank you.
In 1979, the American Community Gardening Association was formed in Chicago to provide leadership and advocacy for the community garden movement. Join us August 7th through 10th at the Field Museum as we celebrate the 35th anniversary of ACGA at our annual conference. Thursday, August 7th, starts with a pre-conference at Cam Isaiah Israel, focusing on gleaning and food pantry gardens, followed by a farm fresh welcome and networking dinner. Friday is a day full of workshops, roundtables, and keynotes, followed by an epic garden soiree and silent auction at the historic Garfield Park Conservatory. Saturday, we're in for a national networking event, presentations, and an afternoon of tours of some of the most vibrant community gardens the city has to offer. Sunday concludes the conference with a second story performance of Voices from the Community Garden, highlighting personal experiences of how Chicago community gardens change lives. Don't miss this historic event. Join us August 7th through 10th for the American Community Gardening Association Conference and be part of the vision for the next 35 years. For more information, communitygarden.org.
Paging Rick DeMaio. Come on now, dude. Maybe he's not used to me getting to him on time. We're having an issue tracking down Mr. DeMaio. And it's the same number you call all the time, isn't it, Helen?
Yep.
Okay. So she's working on it. Rick, if you're listening, you might you might want to call in. 773-763-9278. Is a telephone number, so you know. Oh, I'd love to have a report because he sent me. Let me find. By the way, the photo's posted on. Are we on Facebook and Twitter there, Carol?
Yep.
Was that a yep?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. Just want to make sure people can hear. And it's a photo of me holding Nikki Jabour's new book, Groundbreaking Food Gardens. And of course, she was promoting my book. And, you know, I wonder how many Canadian sales I'll get. Now I have to keep track of that to see how many Canadian sales are going to happen.
Well, she did a good job in talking about your book. So you might have lots of
sales. She seemed to like it.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things that is he? Oh, he is there. All right. Let's, Ricky, we couldn't find you.
No, yeah, that was okay. I was in the middle of changing out the coffee grounds. How about that?
I think I catch your drift there. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Welcome back.
No. Welcome back to you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, welcome back to my living room on a Sunday morning is what I meant. How
yeah, about? It's good to have you here. And I think you had a great trip.
You know, Mike, it was more than a great trip. It was like an experience because I always say you meet the most interesting people when you go to a national park. There's something about it when you go to a place that is truly, and this may sound corny, truly American, where no one cares about, you know, your background, your culture, how much money you make, what political, you know, flag you tend to wave or something. It's all about understanding and respecting and appreciating the beauty of the United States, how it got here, where it's gone, where it's, you know, where it's going to go. And I'm okay with that because, you know, I always tell people, if you want political leaders in this country to get together and not disagree on anything, put them in a national park setting for about 15 minutes. And I'm telling you, everybody will agree, this is where it's at. And it's free. You pay $25, and your car gets to be in that national park for 7 days. Yeah, you got to camp, you got to buy provisions and stuff like that. But it was truly amazing. So visiting the Badlands, Custer State Park out in, you know, the Black Hills of South Dakota, Devil's Tower National Monument in Wyoming, Yellowstone, obviously, Grand Teton National Park, going through parts of Idaho and Montana. It's a very, very different part of the United States compared to Chicago. And it really grounds you. And you meet people from all over the United States. And I think that's the coolest. And there's nothing cooler than walking through a parking lot and seeing license plates from, you know, 25 to 30 other states. It really, truly is more than a vacation. It's an experience.
It is. I did the same thing a couple of years ago. Kathleen and I didn't get quite as far as Yellowstone. That was sort of the goal. We only had a week, and
you need 2 weeks minimum. Don't
yep.
you really do.
Yeah, you do. But we did get to the Black Hills and did some tour. Tooling around a little bit of Wyoming and Nebraska and South Dakota and Denver area, and it was just. It's just remarkable. And now, and I've been to Yellowstone and Grand Tetons. It's awe inspiring. And, you know, let's just hope we continue to keep them up because more and more the money is not going towards our national parks, unfortunately.
No, it's not. And one of the things that you realize when you're out there is the environment is on everybody's mind all the time. Whether or not it has to do with, the emissions being, proposed being cut by the EPA and how that, you know, silly thing went out in Denver, you know, last week when Al Gore was out there giving out ice cream, which I have to say was pretty dumb. and you heard about that, right? It's 62 degrees in Denver, and he was supposed to be out there, obviously, during a warm day, because that's when you give out ice cream on a warm day.
Yeah.
Cool day. And then, you know, you have a reporter from the Colorado area. I'm not too sure exactly which city she was from, but she writes an article for the Washington Times, which then gets retweeted by Fox News that says, you know, climate didn't cooperate with Al Gore. Well, clearly it's not climate, it's weather. And then, you know, Bill Weir from CNN writes something about, you know, the idiocy of Fox News, which is really quite easy to do, actually, every day when you think about it. He didn't have to write it. But the bottom line is, everybody wrote all these things that were technically wrong, way they wrote them, but they did them for the right reasons. And what it did was, I think it raised awareness that, you know, many of these things that people out in Wyoming and in Colorado and Nebraska and in the rural areas of South Dakota, which there are many, the things that they deal with affect them immediately, and the things that those things don't really affect people in Chicago. However, we probably have more of an impact because there's, you know, last I checked, about 8 million of us here in the Chicagoland area. You go out to Wyoming, there's 450,000 people in the entire state. So when you talk about the human footprint of how we affect, you know, the environment and nature, it's almost like the urban people kind of dictate more of what goes on from a standpoint of how these, you know, beautiful landscapes and rural areas are going to be impacted over the next 50 years, more so than the people actually live in them.
Yeah. I was thinking about the very same thing, the difference between climate and weather. When you sent me information, of course, Pat Skatch, who was filling in for you for the last 2 weeks, was talking about how cool July was in the scheme of things. But that, I suppose it's connected to climate, but it really was weather.
Well, yeah, yes and no. When you talk about it from a standpoint of short term, when you look at the last 30 days, and truly the month of July was cool, but it was also much cooler in the southern part of the state, where obviously temperature averages generally tend to be a few degrees higher than they are here in the northern part of the state. And when you look at the numbers, believe it or not, the state of Illinois had the coolest July on record. And then you look back at 2012, and we had the warmest July on record. So one way you can really kind of put this into the vernacular of climate change is the variability that we've seen in this state over the last 3 years. If you think about it, if you just take the month of July, it's pretty remarkable. So now you say to yourself, okay, the month of July 2012, horribly dry, horribly hot, awful climate conditions for growing corn and soybeans. You know, those kind of crops here in the state of Illinois like to have some sort of a decent amount of rain and warm temperatures at a certain time. And then they like it cool for a while. You know, once you get your plants going, you don't want to overheat them. Oddly enough, Mike, the corn crop in the state of Illinois is the best we've ever seen it. And you go, well, maybe cooler and wetter conditions are pretty good for growing corn. True, if you take out just the month of July, but the conditions leading up to it were just fantastic. The right amount of heat, the right amount of wetness, and then consequently we cooled things off and allowed everything to grow. Do you realize that if you look at the national average, this is what's expected, 173 bushels per acre of corn are expected nationally once our crop pretty much full, you know, kind of matures by the end of the growing season. For the state of Illinois, we're expected to produce about 200 bushels of corn per acre. So you're talking, we're about 27 bushels above the national average. And the same thing with soybeans. So in one way, you can look at, you know, some of the benefits of the cooler and wetter July as producing excellent growing conditions for the crops that farmers really needed in the state.
Yeah. I know that certain crops like tomatoes are slower this year. I'm jealous of people who have actually produced tomatoes, but my yard is sun challenged. Our community garden is starting to get some ripe ones in there, but it has been a little slower.
Yeah, we definitely have not had the temperatures that you normally expect around here. For the month of July, you look back, we've only had 3 days above 90. Okay. Typically average about this time of the year, about 12 to 13, midway, obviously a little bit more. They're, you know, obviously close to the urban heat island. But one of the things that was interesting is, you know, traveling through parts of Wyoming and Montana, what everybody is more concerned about more than anything is how the government may be regulating, you know, certain waterways around their farms and their crops and their pasture land. And this is something that's going on nationwide. It's also an issue here in Illinois. They're most concerned about whether or not the Clean Water Act will actually begin to become more of an issue from a standpoint of the water that surrounds their particular cropland, their pasture land, their rangeland. And one of the things that I'm always interested in, Mike, is when people say, Oh, yeah, I drove across Nebraska. What a boring state. I drove across eastern Colorado. What a boring state. I drove across South Dakota. What a boring state. I'm like, you know what? Step out of the car in between the rest stops and turn off the engine and just listen to the sound of the air, of the wind going through the grassland, going through the pasture land and the wheat. And you look out, you see these little black dots. And, you know, those are the cattle that we end up, obviously, you know, doing things with later on in our in their lives, obviously, to produce food on our table. That part of the United States is incredibly valuable to the rest of the United States when you think about it, how it supports food on our table, you know, milk in our cereal, and bread in our sandwiches. And all those things are important. And if we didn't have all that land that most people say, oh, it's really ugly, just keep driving through, don't think too much about it, things would probably cost a lot more when you really think about it.
Well, I love the wilderness, even just the pasture land. And you're right, you get stop and get out and just listen and absorb.
It's, yeah, and more than anything, when you get close to a rest stop, bypass the big rest stops. Get off the little trail.
Right.
You know, and then go into these small towns and you stop and you look and you go, holy smoke, there's a post office, there's a hardware store, there's an insurance store.
Go have breakfast and listen to the regulars in the restaurant.
Right.
That's fun. Well,
I still think that's probably one of the best parts of the trip. So bottom line, you know, weather, Mike, right now here, basically what we had last week, we'll have again this week. Even though we had a break from the rain yesterday, we got a good dose of rain on Friday. Nice little, you know, weak wave comes through the atmosphere. We'll kick off a couple of thunderstorms this afternoon. Another chance during the day on Monday. So we can see in most of the Chicago metropolitan area, probably between a half and about an inch of rain on average. Temperatures again today, probably low 80s where they were yesterday. We topped that at 85. But believe it or not, we get right back into a cool pattern. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week, high pressure over the Great Lakes, temperatures cooler than average. Notice there hasn't been much of a lake breeze.
Right.
I see that the difference has kind of balanced out a little bit. So really by the time, you know, we talk again next week, we'll be talking again about 7 consecutive days where we've failed to reach 90 degrees and we may not even hit 85. So very good growing conditions for corn, soybeans, everything else. Unfortunately, except for your tomatoes.
Okay. Welcome back. At some point in the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about the cool we've had in the Midwest and what has caused that. And we will do that starting next week.
Sounds good. We'll do that, Mike.
All right. Take care. And mosquitoes. That's the second hour of the Mike Novak Show. Stick around.
Your Sunday home for the Mike Novak Show. Tavis Smiley, Ring of Fire, The Family Meeting, Both Sides Now, and Out Chicago. This is 820 AM WCPT Willow Springs, 92.5 WCPT FM DeKalb, 92.7 FM WCPY Arlington Heights, 99.9 FM WCPQ Park Forest, and streaming worldwide at chicagosprogressivetalk.com. This is Chicago's only independent progressive talk station. This is Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, my name is Dennis, and it's now time for your Renter's Roundup on Mighty House, because for some of us listening, our landlords take care of the stuff these guys are talking about. Oh my lord, that was loud. Okay. Today is our Mike Novak Attack of the Killer Asparagus special. More on that in a minute, but first, if you happen to be one of those go-getter kind of renters, all right, every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. until 11, you can hear the green and gardening expert Mike Novak right here on WCPT. He's a great guy, Mike Novak. And did you know that he recently wrote a book? Yeah, he did. And it's now available to buy right now. And the name of the book is The Attack of the Killer Asparagus. And I can guarantee that this will be the funniest book you've ever read about gardening. And that's no joke. Seriously. The book, Mike Novak's Attack of the Killer Asparagus and the Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden, can be purchased at aroundtheblockpress.com, amazon.com, and if you happen to see Mike Novak out in public one day, I bet he'd sell you one of the books, too, right on the spot. So go pick it up. There's nothing like reading a good review before you buy something. You know, it kind of reminds me of a review for a book I recently read. You may have heard of it. The Attack of the Killer Asparagus by Mike Novak. Yeah, not only did I have good things to say after reading it, but Amy Stewart, a New York Times best-selling author, had some nice things to say as well. Listen to this, and I really got it this time. I never thought that a description of powdery mildew would make me laugh out loud, or LOL, am I right? But that was before I picked up this book. This is a New York Times best-selling author, people. She knows books, so get your copy of Mike Novak's Attack of the Killer Asparagus today. Oh, man, a little loud there as well. Get that today. All right. There's a room available for $5.50 a month in Logan Square. And that is your Renter's Roundup on Mighty House. The Renter's Roundup on Mighty House is brought to you by Mike Novak's Attack of the Killer Asparagus, a hilarious and informative book written by WCPT's own greeting and gardening master, Mike Novak. Just head to aroundtheblockpress.com or Amazon to purchase this fantastic book, if I can talk. And to take us out is the official Attack of the Killer Asparagus theme song. Did you know that there was one of these?
No.
There is. It is. You're going to check it out. More home improvement information coming up right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk.
The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Obviously, this is not the theme for Attack of the Killer Asparagus, but I figured we'd had enough there. That was Renter's Roundup dude yesterday on Mighty House. And here he is now.
You like that, buddy?
Anytime you're going to plug the book, yeah, I like it.
Oh, that was a wicked plug. You know?
Wicked good plug.
Yeah, one of those scented plugs. That was a good plug.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Me
but,
either.
But thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
Appreciate it. Anytime you want to plug it.
When that next book comes out.
Oh, wait. I guess I got to hit that. Wait, you know, if we're going to plug it.
Wait till that next book comes out.
I haven't finished selling this one yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Hey, Thursday, did you talk about that book reading you did Thursday?
I have it. Well, I did mention. No, did I mention we were? No, we were at Uncommon Ground on Thursday.
Yeah.
And Renter's Roundup dude showed up. And it was, we had a great time. Carol, you were there.
Yeah, that was great. We had dinner. We went up on the farm, not the garden.
Right, the rooftop, organic rooftop farm at Uncommon Ground on Devon.
You had that crowd in the palm of your hand, bud.
It went pretty well. What can I tell you? I think it's because they all had drinks in their hands. That's why, you know.
I was just looking around going, man, I think Mike probably helped all these people out with their garden.
It's not from reading that book, I can tell you that.
Just from listening to the show. They knew who you were.
Maybe
you know
listening to the show. Yeah, you might be right. Thanks, Renter's Roundup, dude. You know, I got this wonderful photo, by the way. I got on Facebook, Amanda Carlson writes, I can't believe what you were saying this morning about poor vegetable garden weather this summer as my garden is booming. Kale, super early red tomatoes, zucchini, squash, hot peppers, cucumbers. This is the earliest and best I harvest I've had in 5 years of gardening. Well, you know, no, I didn't really say it was poor garden weather. I was speaking specifically about tomatoes, and it might be my fault. It might be my own fault in our own community garden. But I have heard other people complain too, that things have been a little slow for that. But no, kale's been great. Our cucumbers are rocking. We had wonderful early season lettuce, spinach, bok choy was all awesome. Our beets are terrific. So I didn't want to give people the impression that the weather has been lousy. No, the weather's been good. It hasn't been as warm as some people might like for their vegetables. But there you go. And we did get a slow start to the season. So I'm sorry if I gave the impression that, I think that the weather's just been terrible and lousy. No, it hasn't been. And by the way, it's a wonderful photograph you've got there, Amanda, of a, looks like a tiger swallowtail. Really, really beautiful. And I note that also that Annie Haven posted also on the Mike Novak Show on Facebook about something...
I did repost it. I figured that out.
Oh.
So we reposted it for everyone.
How did you figure out how to repost it?
I can tell you later.
It's a top secret. It's top secret. Wow, that's great. I'm glad you did that because I couldn't figure it out. You'll have to show me how to do that. But she, and I'm aware of this too, we were talking earlier about the inability or difficulty in finding farmers for farmers markets. She put the link to Local Harvest, which is localharvest.org, and it connects farmers markets, family farms, CSAs, farm stands, and more, and it's a way to connect all of them. And I'm wondering if the South Shore Farmers Market has done that. I hope they have. One more thing is that David Zaber apparently was out west too. He thinks he ran into Rick DeMaio out west. I think that's a joke, but that's pretty funny. And because, you know, let's face it, there's not a lot of land out there. There's not a lot of space.
Well, I was going to say only if he was definitely off the beaten path, because it sounds
that's
like
right.
That's
where Rick was
in the main line.
That's
mainstream.
Right. I wouldn't surprise me if Rick was hitchhiking out there to get out west. All right. Let us go to the phone line and bring in Zach Cohen, who is with Summit Chemical Company, a great sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. Zach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Great. Where am I talking to you from?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. All right. I'm in Chicago. Yeah. You're in Baltimore. We were in Nova Scotia. We're all over the place today.
All over.
Several weeks ago, well, first of all, folks know if they listen to this show that Summit advertises here, and you advertise your mosquito dunks and your mosquito bits. And several weeks ago, we had some questions about how all of that works. And I thought, you know, why not go to the source and talk to the folks who are doing this and how the product works. And so the active ingredient, let's go before that. Before we even get to active ingredient, what is a mosquito dunk? What and how do you apply it?
What the mosquito dunk is what we call it is a biological mosquito larvicide. What it is a small beige donut. The active ingredient is a BTI, Bacillus thuringiensis israeliensis, and that's specifically toxic only to the true flies. What you do with the product is you put it in the standing water. Mosquitoes need standing water in order to lay eggs, and their larval stage is aquatic. The mosquito dunk floats on the surface of the water, lasts 30 days, treats 100 square feet of surface water, regardless of depth. And the larvae are filter feeders. They consume the active ingredient, the BTI, and it kills them internally.
There, a couple of things here. I have said on the show before that there's no such thing as a species-specific pesticide. But this comes about as close as you can get, it seems to me, the Bacillus thuringiensis subspecies Israel. Well, there are various subspecies of Bacillus thuringiensis, but this particular one, while it's not specific just to mosquitoes, it is a very narrow range of insects, right?
Correct. I guess species specific is somewhat of a misnomer. What it really is order specific. It affects only the true flies, order Diptera, and you know, like other BTs, BTK, which is Kerstaki, which will only affect Lepidopterans, which are caterpillars. It only affects a certain order, and that's a receptor based reaction that occurs in the midgut. And BTI has been tested on a wide range of other insects outside of that order, and it has shown no ill effects to them. So, yeah, it is pretty much as species or order specific as you're going to get.
And so for those folks who might be worried that it's going to affect bees or pollinators, that's something they don't need to worry about.
Correct. for more information on that kind of thing, you can go to, I think it's called the PAN database. It's a pesticide action network.
Yeah.
Database, and it outlines all different pesticides. And under BTI, you'll see different toxicity screenings for specific organisms. And bees are listed there. We've sold it for years to people who have honeybees and have hives, and we've never heard a adverse reaction by honeybees. And all the literature points towards no ill effects towards honeybees whatsoever.
Great. And I am a fan of Pesticide Action Network. Email address, I'm sorry, their website, rather, is panna.org, PANNA.org, and you can find more information there. So now you say, the other thing that interests me, you say that they work up to 30 days, and it's not, it doesn't matter how deep the water is. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, mosquito larvae typically congregate towards the surface of the water.
Ah.
Because it's really the product's effectiveness depends on them interacting with the active ingredient, basically attaching them by while they're in the water column. Doesn't matter how deep the water is. The product floats at the surface and releases the BTI. And as it passes the larvae, who are basically filter feeders, it contacts them there. And so it doesn't matter how deep that water ends up being below them.
And as you say, it works for up to 30 days. So then you should, if you've got the standing body of water that obviously you cannot get rid of, and folks should know they should be searching their properties if they're worried about mosquitoes for places where water can accumulate, like, you know, old tires is the classic case, and other places. But if you have a standing body of water, then once a month you go out and throw in a mosquito dunk.
Correct, yeah. I mean, anything that remains for more than a week is really going to be a perfect site for mosquitoes to breed. It doesn't take much more than a teaspoon of water for certain species. And the mosquito dunks, when they're gone, you'll notice, you'll see that they're dissolved. All that will be left is some granular cork floating in the water, which causes the dunks to float.
Mm-hmm. So that is the extent of the environmental effects of it. There is nothing else, I assume.
No, yeah, there's everything in it is food or pharmaceutical grade material. It's all natural. The BTI basically degrades in sunlight or through natural processes, so it's not going to remain in the environment long. Really, it matters for that period of time when it passes the larvae. The inactive ingredients are all natural, so they're biodegradable, and you will have no ill effects whatsoever to the environment.
And you mentioned that they're effective for 100 square feet of water, so we're talking surface. So you just sort of modify your treatment roughly by how many square feet you have of surface water.
Correct, yeah, and sometimes, you know, have much less than that. The label calls for one dunk per 100 square feet, but you can up that dosage to anywhere up to three times the label dosage. I believe it says that on the package. You can also break them into as small as quarters. They're somewhat easy to break into pieces, and so if you have a much smaller area, you can use a quarter of a dunk, put that in there. And it should last you upwards of near to, you know, 30 days. The full dunk is much more likely to last the full amount of time.
Are you guys the only people who are putting this out now? Is this proprietary?
We have made this product for near 30 years now almost, and it still is really the only sustained release BTI product on the market. There are other BTI formulations, but none of them last for an extended period of time.
And meaning not the 30 days that you're talking about.
Correct, yeah. you know, such as our mosquito bits, which really only release the BTI at the time of application, and the BTI is available in the water column for only the amount of time that it takes for it to settle out to the bottom.
All right. Why don't you explain how the difference between the dunks and the mosquito bits?
Well, the mosquito bits are granular formulation of BTI. It's BTI on a corncob carrier, and the bits release all of the active ingredient as soon as they hit the water. So whatever larvae are present at the time of application will die. While you may not see larvae develop again for about a week, you will have to reapply it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good for, because it can be broadcast, it works for different types of applications where maybe a dunk can't really cover a marshy area, or if you have a pile of tires, which hopefully nobody does, but you can broadcast them and they can easily hit all the small water holding areas.
I've noticed that we, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, we're at a point where obviously West Nile virus is a concern in the country. I think it's good to put it in perspective, though. I know that anybody, it's unfortunate if anybody dies, but there were in 2013, 2,400 cases of West Nile virus in the United States, 2,469, resulting in 119 deaths. We have to put that in perspective. That's out of 316 million people in the country, which is a very small percentage. Yet, you still could suffer ill effects from West Nile virus. And I assume that the mosquito dunks handle that mosquito, and as well as a mosquito, you're probably following this as well, because I also mentioned earlier that we have a new virus that is making its way into the United States, the chikungunya. Have you been following that?
Yeah, of course. And yes, the mosquito dunks and BTI, it will affect all mosquito species. And what's of particular interest with chikungunya is the two culprits, mosquitoes that spread the disease, Aedes aegypti, the common house mosquito, and Aedes albopictus, the Asian tiger mosquito, are both what they call container breeders. So they seek out small sources of water, typically found in people's backyards, and they are closely associated with humans. So the dunks are really perfectly suited for combating those types of mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that the chikungunya, and again, this is a virus that has been making its way through the Caribbean, has sickened more than 355,000 people. However, from what I understand, and let me know if that's correct, Zach Cohen, it's so far it's not fatal.
It's rarely, if ever, fatal. From what I've read, I think you would have to be severely immune compromised to have be killed by it. However, it causes debilitating joint pain. From what I've read, it can be as bad as not being able to stand up, not being able to grasp things. But it only lasts several weeks. So that's the bright side of it. You know,
if there is a bright side to getting a virus from a mosquito, that is it. By the way, that's Zach Cohen from Summit Mosquito Dunks and Bits. Their website for Summit Chemical Company is summitchemical.com. You will find the dunks and bits there on the site. And as I mentioned, they're an advertiser for the Mike Novak Show. So what I've read about the chikungunya is that it's most likely to be in the southern part of the United States. It might come up the Atlantic coast, so Baltimore might be affected by it, and maybe as far as the southern Midwest. That's what I have read. Is that what you know about, too?
I believe you're correct. it depends, you know, on the distribution of those specific mosquito species, and they tend to be in the larger cities along the eastern seaboard. However, the Asian tiger mosquito, Aedes albopictus, has spread quite rapidly in the past decade. So it's an introduced species, and it is found as far north as Chicago. However, this particular strain of chikungunya, I have, from my understanding, is not currently being transmitted by that mosquito. However, that could happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's questionable how big an issue this is currently, but it may may develop over time into something that's more of an issue that we need to look out for.
Yeah. And one of the ways to do it is preventive. Now, looking at treatment of mosquito larvae in water with Bacillus thuringiensis subspecies israeliensis, BTI, versus trying to control mosquitoes after they have become adults. Do you have any data on that and how effective your product might be versus trying to do it after the fact, after they've become adults?
I don't really have any data that I can present that will sway anybody one way or the other. But the logic of the situation is that you have smaller amounts of suitable breeding habitat that are easy to locate. And you know that the flying adults, which disperse and are more difficult to treat, often requiring more toxic chemicals to get rid of, that also only lasts for the period of time when that chemical's in the air to contact them. It makes sense that being preemptive, targeting the breeding sites, you will make the job easier and you could have better control for a longer period of time.
Well, I did a little research on that, and, you know, if you're trying to control them as adults, you're going to end up spraying organophosphates like malathion, or NALID, or synthetic pyrethroids, permethrin, resmethrin, sumethrin, those kinds of things. And while, you know, the EPA will tell you, they will say, well, when used according to the label, they're perfectly safe for people. You know, I don't believe there is such a thing as perfectly safe in this regard. But there is some collateral damage, and they're told not to spray these when pollinators are active because they can affect pollinators. Is that correct?
Correct. And, you know, that's, you know, any professional mosquito abatement program that is applying these products are typically biologists who understand the life behavior of all the pollinators and any species that they don't want to impact. And that's why they have specific methods for treating. And they only typically treat with aerial insecticides when there's an imminent disease outbreak, when they know they have to knock down the adult population or there's going to be damage to, you know, people's health. None of the synthetic insecticides are what you would call species-specific, as you mentioned before. It does matter how you apply them. And, you know, nothing is really without risk.
Well, and as I say, collateral damage.
Right.
You know, and let's be clear. What I have said on the show is that there is no such thing as a species-specific insecticide. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. That's the problem, because when you're spraying, there are going to be other insects that are affected by it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and that's one of the amazing qualities of BTI. It wasn't engineered. It's something that was found in nature to affect only, you know, specific insects, whereas all these insects, you know, share across all species and orders share common physiological traits, which cause them to be susceptible to the same insecticides, regardless of the species, you know, be it honeybee, monarch butterfly, or mosquitoes. So if any of them contact, you know, an insecticide, it will affect them, and it would be a
a problem. Nobody wants to do that.
And finally, I put a link to this on my website. One of the problems with some of these other controls, the pyrethroid insecticides, and they're used obviously to because malaria. Something that I found out that was pretty amazing is that the most dangerous animal on earth is a mosquito. It is responsible probably for 1 million deaths worldwide each year. The second most dangerous animal is human beings. And you look at things like sharks and wolves, which are animals that are vilified and reviled and hunted down to extinction. All right, 1 million deaths from mosquitoes. Man is probably at 750,000 responsible for 750,000 deaths. Dogs at with rabies are responsible for 25,000 deaths worldwide. You know, you want to know where sharks and wolves are on that list? They're responsible for about 10 deaths each in worldwide across the planet each year, and yet we're hunting them to extinction. It just seems insane. But that's my little political comment there, Zach. But mosquitoes, they're number one.
Yeah, it puts things in perspective. You wouldn't think, and it's one of the reasons that it took a long time up until pretty much the same period of time when the Panama Canal was being constructed for scientists to even believe that this small insect could be potentially killing so many people. Before, there were all other reasons they tried to come up with for why something like yellow fever would kill so many people. And they used to believe it was transmitted from human to human. When they discovered it was a mosquito, it took a little while for it to catch on and become the commonly understood phenomena that was occurring.
Yeah, and so as I started to mention before I put this all in perspective, the other problem with a lot of the sprays and the pyrethroids is that insects are starting to become resistant to some of them. And I've got an article from Nature, the International Weekly Journal of Science, that talks about how some of these sprayed products that the insects, there's so much pressure to use them that insects, they basically become, not always, but they can become resistant to them. I had a scientist tell me years ago that one of the reasons DDT stopped being used was not so much, at least it's not used in this country, was not so much that it was killing birds, but because it stopped being effective. And that was part of the pressure involved on it. Now, that may be inaccurate, but that's what I was told by a respected scientist. So there we have it. Zach, I think folks should take advantage of the dunks. It's a lot better than spraying, especially, you know, in your own backyard. Anything that I've missed here?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I think we've covered quite a bit, but people can feel free to, of course, I'm sure, contact you, and you could get in touch with us.
Sure.
Or visit our website. Send us an email if you have a question. Call our 800 number Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
And what's that number, Zach?
800-227-8664. And I'd be happy, and anybody that works at Summit would be happy to help answer any questions anybody has.
And again, that number, toll-free number, if you want to call, if you got any questions about mosquito dunks, mosquito bits, and how they work, it's 800-227-8664. Again, you can go to summitchemical.com, and all the information is there. Zach Cohen, I appreciate you being on the program, taking a Sunday morning and chatting with us.
Thank you for having me, Mike, anytime.
All right, take care, everyone. And I hope I talk to you soon.
Definitely.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, and my thanks to the Summit Company. You know, if you ask me, I think it's much better to be throwing a dunk in a pool of water than trying to spray after the mosquitoes. Now, obviously, you're not going to stop all of them, but this is a smart way to go. All right, the rest of the program, I got some odds and ends here, but let's put Helen on the spot and make her answer some phone calls. Are you ready for that, Helen, if we're going to have some phone calls come in?
Bring it on.
She does want to get out of here and go to Lollapalooza. No, she wants to go to the garage and listen to her favorite garage bands. 773-763-9278. I'll be talking about some other stuff, but I'm happy to take a phone call with whatever you got. Now, when even the mainstream media starts covering stuff, you know it must be important. This past week, ABC 7 Chicago did a report about the permaculture garden in Millennium Park that was the brainchild of Christy Weber, president of Christy Weber Landscapes and owner of Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago, and a great sponsor on my program. In the dead of winter, she decided that the annual display beds for Millennium Park needed a makeover, one that included edible plants. 6 months later, Millennium Park's first ever permaculture display is growing tomatoes and corn and making people stop and say, wow. Next week on this very show, Christy stops by with permaculturist Anna Marie Leon and Westtown Academy's Angela Taylor to talk. And they were all interviewed. I saw this report. It was a really nice report. They're going to talk about how they made it happen. Meanwhile, you need to stop by Christy Weber Farm and Garden in the Ukrainian village and check out the finest display of annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, native plants, and edibles in the city. Not to mention supplies for your urban chickens and wilder feathered friends. Find Christy Weber Farm and Garden on Facebook, online at cwfng.com, or spell it out, ChristyWeberFarmAndGarden.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakening, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakenings features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs, or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I finally figured out what David J. Zaber posted. He said, I just saw the words and I didn't see the rest of it. He's got a photo of a moose. And he writes, I think I saw Rick DeMaio on my trip to Wyoming last week with the photo of, oh, wait a second. Where's my, come on. Where's the array? That's what I meant. So I could do that. Thank you. And that is set up as Norman Goldman to do this. And we had, and there's some great posts to the page at the Mike Novak Show. Vicki Hartman and her husband there, and she's a follower on Facebook, where she took some nice photos there, including a couple of from the stage and from the rooftop farm. And I wanted to make sure I got to, okay, hold on, let's find it here. There we are. The wonderful Donna Forsberg is having the Graceland West 32nd Annual Garden Walk today, starting at noon, and it's free. You're going to enjoy this. It's from 12 to 5, a self-guided tour of 40 gardens bounded by Clark, Ashland, Montrose, and Irving Park, Master Gardeners, Insect Petting Zoo, architectural tour of the Lakeview High School. They also have Berto Greenway for bikes, two rain gardens, which trap the rainwater, which accumulates on the corners of Berto Clark and Berto Ashland. The starting point, this is where you need to go, 4334 North Greenview. 4334 North Greenview. Now, Carol, did you see this? It's on the post to page on the Mike Novak Show. You'll have to go into those posts. Whoa, and I just lost it, of course. That's the way those things work. Let's maybe go back. So on the left side, you click on post to page and just scroll down like two or three. You've got Annie's and you've got the
Amanda.
The moose pick of Rick DeMaio. And then some shots from the Amanda Carlson's. And I think right below that is the Donna Forsberg, yes, okay, who posted that. And I want to make sure people know about it because this is a very cool thing. Now, you can also email her. Now, she posted this last week, and I missed it last week, but I bet she's still standing by. Operator standing by to take your emails. It's Donna Forsberg, DonnaForsberg, at sbcglobal.net. And if we can, you have learned how to put that on the main page, haven't you, Carol?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
The button.
The button, the magic button. You've got too many buttons there. You got to type stuff. You got to turn on the mic. You got to do the Facebook thing. Let's take a phone call. Go to the phone lines. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I don't have your name here.
Yeah, this is Ron.
Ron?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to say something that I'm pretty conservative, but I kind of listen to the station at times. I like to get both sides of the argument.
Sure.
But you were talking about mosquitoes. I thought it was interesting. We live out in the farm, and I was really concerned about the onslaught of mosquitoes. We had all this rain, but we've got about 6 or 8 small bats that live in our barn,
mm-hmm,
and they come out at night, and I haven't had a mosquito bite in years. I mean, they just work all night on the insects and do a tremendous job, so we leave them alone, and they stay in the barn in the daytime and come out at night. So.
You know what? It doesn't surprise me at all. The problem is our bats are under attack by and the what was the white nose fungus, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. We're starting to
thriving. We've had probably 6, 7, 8, and right at dusk, if you watch where the opening of the barn, you'll see them come out. They'll come out just right at dusk, and man, they can eat bugs. I think I read once they eat almost their weight every night. It's crazy.
Yeah, I just went to American Mosquito Control Association website, and they say that recently During the 1920s, several bat towers were constructed near San Antonio, Texas, in order to help control malarial mosquitoes. Huh. They say that, that the mosquito populations were not affected and the project was discontinued, but I do know that bats do eat a lot of mosquitoes.
Yeah, we just don't have any problem. If I go into a town close to us, it seems like people are batting at mosquitoes all the time during this time period. And we come home, my wife and I were talking about it, and said we just have not had any problems with insects. So I guess, yeah, it's probably not conducive to an urban setting. But for us, and I know there's people that are concerned about bats, but, you know, they've been there for several years, and we've never, you know, we've never had a problem with them.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure it doesn't hurt to have bats around, and you know, and I and they are also pollinators. Bats are other good. And again, it's one of those species that gets a bad rap. That you
right.
know,
you know, everybody says they're full of rabies. I don't know. I say we've had cattle around and for years, and we've never had a rabies problem at all. So.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you.
Pass it along. This is a way to not. I'm like you. I mean, I don't like spraying everything, you know, because it does do some damage too.
Yeah, and I know that there are folks who set up bat shelters just to encourage bats to be part of their ecosystems.
Got our bat barn is our bat shelter, I guess.
And where is it? Did you say you live?
We live southwest, about 50 miles southwest of Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear. Now, you say you haven't been bothered, but I'm kind of curious because I'm in the city. It is, you know, I've experienced mosquitoes here, but, you know, city guys in the mosquito. And I haven't been, for some reason, I just haven't been out in the country much this summer. And I'm wondering if it's a particularly bad mosquito year. I know that we had a lot of moisture early on.
Because there was so much standing water.
Right. That's what I figured.
Until about the 4th or 5th of July, there was water, mud puddles all the time in our area. And they've had a real problem with mosquitoes. I know other people have told it, but I'd say we've never been bothered all the years we've been there. So.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I appreciate the call. I appreciate it very much. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Have
a great Sunday. 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. If you wanted to call in and tell me your experience with bats. What was the other thing I was, this is important too. The next week, well, actually starting Thursday, is the beginning of the 35th annual American Community Gardening Association conference, right here in Chicago, where it all started. And I would encourage people who are involved in community gardens, who want to get involved in community garden, to check out the conference. First of all, you can go to their website, which is communitygarden.org, and look up events and see that it's starting on Thursday. There is a tour. I mentioned KAM Isaiah Israel on the south side, where Rob Carthall is now the farm manager, which is really cool. He of the Mike Novak Show team, although we haven't seen him around here much lately. He's been all over the place in Colorado and Wisconsin and now on the south side.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had a new job, so congratulations.
Well, it was weird. I saw it pop up on LinkedIn. I went... That's why I wrote to him. I went, dude, you're not going to tell me you're working at KAM Isaiah Israel?
He wants you to ask him to be a guest. That's what. He wants you to seek him out, Mike.
You know what? All he has to do is wander in here, and he knows that I'll say, sit in a chair, turn on the mic. I mean, that's the way it works. With Rob.
I'm just teasing.
Any of you guys? I mean, you and you guys, Helen and Lisa. You know.
We do wonder.
Lisa Alba.
I wonder in every Sunday.
I know. It's kind of funny.
All of a sudden I see a microphone.
And sometimes you don't. And, you know, and I go, who's here this week? I have no idea. It's not like Mighty House where, you know, Robbie's going to be there and Rich is going to be there. It's like with my team, it's, okay, Who's, hello? Anybody out there?
Helen and I are the summer team.
You are.
We're here, so Helen.
Yeah.
And Dennis, as always.
Well, Dennis gets paid to be here, so he better be here. So, but getting back to the ACGA, American Community Gardening Association, you can still get on board. There's the pre-conference tour of KAM Isaiah Israel Community Garden. There's a Robert Neville who wrote me this morning. He said, hey, are you going to be there? A tour, and they're going to have a little dinner there. It's going to be a panel, a walk through the garden, and it's going to be really cool. And then there's a welcome dinner that evening at 6 p.m. at the garden. It's a locally sourced vegetarian meal provided by Irv and Shelley's Fresh Picks, and they've been on the show before. Very cool. Keynote presenters Friday. One of them, Marianne Krasny, was on the show several weeks ago, and we talked with her. And Roger Hart, professor of the PhD Psychology and Earth and Environmental Studies program of the Graduate Center of the City University of New York, and director of the Children's Environmental Research Group. Just lots of stuff going on, 40 presentations on anything you can imagine connected with community gardening in America. I mean, Canada as well. So, again, the website is communitygarden.org, even though the name, and we talked about this before, it's the American Community Gardening Association, but the website is communitygarden.org, and go there and you can find more information. Let's take another phone call. Charlie, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning. Charlie?
I took your tour to the recycling place on the south side.
You were with us that day, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
Fabulous.
I listen to you whenever I can, which is almost all the time. I understand that that dragonfly larvae eat mosquito larvae, and that dragonfly adults eat mosquito adults. But I don't know how to attract dragonflies without breeding mosquitoes. Perhaps a listener will be able to add information to that.
Yeah, you're right. Dragonfly larvae, nymphs, feed on mosquito larvae, and adult dragonflies feed on... You know, I always consider dragonflies a sign of good luck. I've always said that. And it's the key to attracting dragonflies, and... I'm at a site called mosquitoworld.net. The key to attracting dragonflies is to provide an environment that is comfortable and safe for them. Small pond, shallow at one end, deep at the other, with vegetation that grows out of the water and plenty of flat rocks surrounding it. I mean, the idea is they got to have a place to light and hang out. The nymphs will eat mosquito larvae in the water. The adults will sun themselves on the rocks, waiting for the adults to leave the water. It says some towns in Maine have been buying and releasing dragonfly nymphs in local waters for decades and insist the insects help keep local mosquito populations under control. So you need water there, you know, and it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because the water, well, I suppose if you keep the water running, though, the mosquito larvae have a difficult time. You know, that's why people have bubblers and that sort of thing. If you keep the water moving, it's also a control for mosquitoes. It's the standing water that is the problem.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, it's good to hear you.
Oh, well, thank you for calling, Charlie. I really appreciate it. You have a good Sunday.
Yeah, you too.
All bye-bye. Right, bye-bye. 773-763-9278. Let's take a short break. I think we can grab another call or two.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to IllinoisSolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at IllinoisSolar.org for more details.
Mosquito bites are painful and itchy, and mosquitoes can carry West Nile virus and other diseases. But there's an effective organic way to kill mosquitoes. Mosquito dunks are America's favorite organic mosquito killer because they kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. The active ingredient in mosquito dunks kills mosquito larvae before they become flying, biting, disease-spreading adults. Just float a donut-shaped mosquito dunk in ponds, birdbaths, fountains, rain gutters, or any place where water collects to naturally kill mosquito larvae. Mosquito dunks are deadly to mosquitoes, but harmless to pets, people, fish, and other wildlife. Each mosquito dunk treats up to 100 square feet of water and will kill mosquito larvae for up to 30 days. So don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Stock up on mosquito dunks. You can find mosquito dunks and mosquito bits at home centers, garden centers, and hardware stores.
This is Mike Novak with a message from the Illinois Hydrilla Task Force. Dense mats of aquatic plants at your favorite fishing spot or swimming hole can really get in the way of summer fun. You can help protect Illinois' lakes and streams by keeping a lookout for the aquatic superweed hydrilla. It's already been found in neighboring states and impacted boating, fishing, and water sports. To learn more, go to hydrillahunt.org and report any suspicious aquatic plants you find. Your neighbors and fellow water users will thank you.
In 1979, the American Community Gardening Association was formed in Chicago to provide leadership and advocacy for the community garden movement. Join us August 7th through 10th at the Field Museum as we celebrate the 35th anniversary of ACGA at our annual conference. Thursday, August 7th, starts with a pre-conference at Cam Isaiah Israel, focusing on gleaning and food pantry gardens, followed by a farm fresh welcome and networking dinner. Friday is a day full of workshops, roundtables, and keynotes, followed by an epic garden soiree and silent auction at the historic Garfield Park Conservatory. Saturday, we're in for a national networking event, presentations, and an afternoon of tours of some of the most vibrant community gardens the city has to offer. Sunday concludes the conference with a second story performance of Voices from the Community Garden, highlighting personal experiences of how Chicago community gardens change lives. Don't miss this historic event. Join us August 7th through 10th for the American Community Gardening Association Conference and be part of the vision for the next 35 years. For more information, communitygarden.org.
Coming into the home stretch here, I was doing a little searching here on the interwebs, and usually when I do that, if I go to about.com, usually they're pretty good information. I know I try to skew towards going to universities, .edu sites and everything, but this site about mosquitoes was interesting. That Debbie Hadley, who writes here, says, neither purple martins nor bats provide any significant measure of mosquito control. That's not to say they don't eat mosquitoes. They do, but mosquitoes make up a tiny portion of their diets. Multiple studies of wild bats have consistently proved that mosquitoes are less than 1% of their diet. Purple martins, the percentage of mosquitoes in their diet is slightly higher, a whopping 3%. Well, so there you go. But you know what? It means I need to have somebody on the show to talk about this. Let's get the straight skinny on Bats and mosquitoes and bats in general. I have not done a show or a show segment about bats. I think, they're fascinating creatures. And Helen's nodding. We should do that. And I think maybe by next week, we're going to have to talk about the Toledo water crisis where Lake Erie water has become toxic. I mean, this is not good. This is, and it's an important subject. So I'm going to be looking into that as well. So that's about it. I want to thank everybody, for listening today. And, Out Chicago is next. Stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, go green or
go home.
Appreciate it.